Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Welcome to our podcast for Life Theming, December 2023 into January 2024.
Yeah, hello everyone. We're celebrating Charles Dickens' December. Fantastic theme.
Dickens December. We spent 31 days of December celebrating the life and the works of Dickens and learning more and embodying some of his ideals and characterizations.
Yeah, it was very, very enjoyable. And we're still reading Bleak House and we're just creeping in now into January. So we're, I think it will take us a while to get through that big chunky book, but it's very good.
I think it's going to take quite a long time in this of this year to get to it. But it doesn't matter, no rush. But shall we talk about our highlights and things, the legacy that Dickens has left
yeah,
us?
Let's do it. And the way we're going to do it is, just to check I'm not squishing.
No, she's here. She's here. Our little guinea pig sits between us
in her Dickensian robe. So, yeah, the way we're going to do it, I guess, is as Dickens is such a great character developer, maybe we could introduce some characters.
Yeah, why not?
That somehow personify the thing that we want to celebrate and take as a legacy of Dickens for our lives.
Yeah, all right.
Who'd like to go first?
Well, I'll go first because you've kind of just mentioned one, so I'll go in. It's kind of like a smooth segue.
Oh, nice.
To introduce our first character into our little novella here. And her name is Bookie Stiflegaunt.
Bookie Stiflegaunt? She
Bookie
sounds like a character.
Bookie Stiflegaunt. What impression do you get from Bookie Stiflegaunt?
She's very well read. And she is finds it hard to breathe. And she's got a very sallow complexion.
Sallow like a sow?
Like a sallow, like a yellowy field.
Like a field of rape?
Like a field of rape or hay or something.
Well, she's not yellow, I wasn't thinking, but I never thought about what colour or what she looks like, but she certainly is into
reading,
and that's something that we did. So Bookie, our character, represents the reading of not just Bleak House that we have endeavoured to commit to, but also reading other parts of Dickens. You read an essay, didn't you?
Maybe you should do it in her voice.
Oh, well, we have had many opportunities to read the works of Mr. Dickens and to peruse his many wonderful descriptions of people and places and to inspire our own creativity.
Oh, no.
The name does come from the books, the bookie. The stifle is the overwhelmingness of them. Dickens is not the easiest, though it is very rewarding as well as you read it. And the gaunt is really from the gauntlet that we've set ourselves to finish the book, hopefully this year. So that's the first character who, she's quite prim and proper and she expects everyone to have a level of education and understanding and to be well read. So we're doing our best, Bookie.
Oh, very good. I liked her voice as well. All right, bye bye, Bookie.
Well, she's not going. She's just stepping aside to make room for the new character, who is
I'll introduce one of mine. So here comes Lord Noel Festibaubles.
Oh,
yes. I have a jolly old time, particularly at my favourite time of year, around Christmas time. And what I represent
is because I'm called Noel and because I'm called Festy Baubles, that kind of lovely, rumpy, round, red festivity. Oh, yes, I'm like a big figgy pudding. Oh, yes, I am the personification of a happy Christmas because, yes, I'll leave Mr. Festy Baubles there while I just explain in Josh, in Josh's voice.
Yes. Give us a character analysis.
Yeah, so Mr. Festy Baubles is basically he sums up how Dickens, like in that film we watched, The Man Who Invented Christmas, really did it very well to seemingly capture what Christmas is all about. That Scrooge Christmas Carol story has been reused again and again and again, and it really never fails to... well, it never gets old, really, and depends how bad the film is that is covering the Scrooge story, but often it can really bring a moving feel to a film when the character decides that they're going to realise the true meaning of Christmas and say goodbye to their miserable old ways. It's a, something of hope. I think a Wonderful Life is a bit like a Scrooge story in a way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think so. I think Dickens did really add to and revive a lot of Christmassiness, and it's a lovely, lovely thing to celebrate. And nice. How will that be a legacy? I guess we'll maybe we'll have more figgy pudding. You made your own figgy pudding.
I did,
which was very nice. And Kate made a lovely Dick End pie.
Pie, Dick End, yeah.
And we had smoking bishop, so it was all very festive.
Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely going to enhance our Christmas into the future.
Oh yeah, we'll always have a little room for. For Dickens and Lord...
Lord Festy Baubles. Oh, yes. I'm going to step aside now. What's the next one?
Is he friends with Bookie or not? Do they get on?
No. No, he doesn't. He finds her too prim, too closed off. She doesn't let her hair down under the mistletoe.
Well, I think she might get on better with Rocher or Rocher Perambula.
Oh.
Mm. A young lady about town. She dresses well in the finest clothing and styles and fashion. She is popular with both men and women.
Oh.
She is pretty and handsome.
Ooh.
And she's interesting. She's well cultured, well read, and she perambulates, as her name suggests.
Ooh.
She likes to explore, walk, and to know the different landmarks and spots of our dear Charles Dickens. Wherever he went, which we did in Rochester, part of her name, Rocher, and Broad Stairs.
Oh.
That's...
Oh, Rocher.
Rocher.
Perambula.
That's her name.
Ah.
She is a portmanteau of Rochester and Broad Stairs, and she perambulates them. And other places, such as London and Watford and Dungeness and wherever she needs to go. But yes, and the legacy is that, well, Dickens went so many places, we could probably find somewhere, anywhere we went, that's got a link to him in some way. But being in Kent, there's many references to his novels and in different parts of towns. It was really lovely to walk across the city of Rochester and note the landmarks. And where Bleak House... where he lived in Broadstairs and would walk down to the Tartar Frigate and the other pubs, the Neptune and the Georgian and all that, where he would frequent. It was lovely to walk in his footsteps and got a real sense. I felt like I was going back in time. So that's the second character who is always walking around, gets on very well with Bookie because they both respect literature and being well read, but gets on well with Lord Noel as well, because she likes a good drink. Bless you. And a good yarn.
Oh.
Especially at Christmas time. So she's blending in well. So there's our third character.
Well, our fourth character, in she comes. Well, I must say I am quite similar to Rocher, so I'm slightly perturbed by her interests, but at the same time I align with them, so I do not mind if we overlap somewhat. But my name is Lady Britannia Stamps.
Ooh.
And I exist because Dickens stamped his literature, his culture, his personality, his imagination on so many places in the British Isles. And I don't want to repeat what you have said, Rocher. So instead, I will explain a couple of places. So we watched The Personal History of David Copperfield. And I really liked the way he got Yarmouth as this amazing place by the sea, and you know, kind of made me feel like I want to go and visit there with the boat and the cliffs and the little cobbled streets. And also, oh no, I am overlapping slightly, because we went to Broadstairs and we went to the house of Betsy Trotwood.
Ah, yes.
Or the auntie of Dickens that inspired Betsy Trotwood's story. And we saw the garden where the donkeys would like to scamper about, and she would get very angry. And it felt very special to watch that film and feel connected to that little spot, Dickens' house in Broadstairs. So yes, that's me, Lady Britannia Stamps. And what I am celebrating is that very common thing that we will take into the future even more now, where we'll be like, oh, doesn't this feel Dickensian around here? And that's me done.
Okay, well, I'm going to introduce the last character for me, the fifth out of six characters. And this is a dashing Lothario called Octavio Wiganstick. And Octavio, he has a slight accent. He's got quite a captivating draw on his voice, which draws in the young ladies as he activates Activo. Can you guess what he likes to do?
He brings sexual desire.
Well, perhaps, but that could be part of his act, being in his name, Octavio loves to act. He is an actor, and he comes to life, he brings the characters to life off the page. He loves a vignette, as we all do, as we tried. He will also embody anybody interested in Dickens, like the lady in Broadstairs who brought Mrs. Micawber to life. But also the many characters around us, like in when we were in Durham for a night, and we just observed different people acting in their own way, and they became characters for us in different Dickens novels, from a Lady Dedlock who'd been Christmas shopping, la-di-da she was, to they weren't all from Bleak House, were they? Were they from different
novels?
Oh yes, because there was Pip and Herbert
and Pocket. Mr. Honeythunder.
Mr. Honeythunder, yeah. And Mr. Toot came, didn't he?
Yeah, Mr. Toots. Well, I saw him in that waiting room, but it was the other girls.
Yes. So we met many and a person who is acting out, Octavio, really representing that. Wiganstick actually refers to yours and my own vignette from Bleak House that we performed for two of our friends who came to stay.
Oh, yeah.
And it involved us wearing a wig and whacking the other one with a stick.
Yeah.
In a scene of Bleak House. So that was fun. So Octavio Wiggenstick, he loves to draw people in, perform and act, bring things to life in a very Dickensian way.
What a wonderful name, Octavio Wiggenstick.
Mm.
Makes me want to have a child or another pet, just so we can name it.
Octavio.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, again, bit of similarity, but I'll introduce my last one. My name's Master Dexter Chucklewit. Because I'm quite a master at writing. I'm really quality at my writing. I've got a real amazing way of bringing characters to life with my words, with phrases. So I really, very impressed people this month, Joshua and Adam, with the way that they could laugh out loud while reading a very old book. Maybe it was Mrs. Jellybee, always so preoccupied with her African duties that she didn't have time to brush her hair and all these kind of things. But also how Joshua and Adam became their own characters with just a few choice words and phrases, helped vivify their ability to be their fullest expression of themselves. So for Joshua, it was the phrase, poised, ready to dive into the next box of delights.
Oh.
That's kind of a little hook for the character he wants to be in the personal history of Joshua Beamish. So, yes, it's really to celebrate that vivid characters around us, who we are ourselves, and enjoying the way Dickens crafts those in his writings. Anything else I wanted to say about that? I just think he's an amazing, amazing character writer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we observed that he's so interested in people, loves people and characters, that he really goes into depth and lots of detail and brings in so many different characters in one story, which does compromise the story a little bit.
So oh, yes.
He's not really...
He's a bit overdoes it a bit.
Well, he's just not into real plot or action.
There is a lot of plot.
There's plot, but there's not a lot of action. I think he could spend chapters just describing one scene. I mean, there was one scene where they found a body in a bed and it took a whole 20 pages of a chapter to pronounce him dead, to confirm that. In Bleak House.
Oh, I don't know if I've read that bit, yeah?
Yeah, you have, because we listened to it on the audio.
Oh, that body.
Yeah. So, but it spent a whole chapter just to confirm that. And it's just like, well, you could have said that in two lines, really, very succinctly. But, so, he loves his description. And I think you made a good point about the way in which he wrote was episodical. It was a very different audience then. You know, we live in an age now where we expect everything instantly and fast-paced and with the internet and just how quick things are. But that's not how things were. And so it's a lovely reminder to tap into that, to slow down a bit. But there is a challenge with that because of how we're wired now. And I feel that kind of tension.
Because it could take us a year to read Bleak House, and we've only got a certain number of years left.
Yeah, well, imagine if you wanted to read all of them. Oh, you've just got me Our Mutual Friend on the back of that, so...
Yeah, but that's for when we're old men.
Well, I think I will be by the time I finish Bleak House.
But those YouTube starlets with the glasses and the long black hair...
Yeah.
They've
read it all.
They seem to have read his books multiple times.
Yeah, so...
And then rated them their top worst to best.
Do they actually have a life? Do they do anything else? Or are they very fast readers?
Yeah, I guess they are. Just very, like, skim and scan.
But I don't... If I'm skimming, I don't really feel I'm reading it properly. I think I might miss something.
So, or maybe they don't watch TV.
No. No, they probably don't. They probably... probably spend their evening. Yeah, you're right, not watching TV, but it's probably spend 2 or 3 hours an evening of an evening just reading. But that's good for them. I think it's not. I'd like to read a little bit more.
Well, I think it's great. Well, maybe after this podcast, we should read a bit of Bleak House. Keep it going.
Yeah, let's plow on with that. Bookie Stifelgaunt would be proud.
Yes, and Britannia Stamps would love it. Well, so would Noel Festy Baubles and Master Dexter Chuckle Wit.
Oh, yeah, and Rocher Perambula will continue to support us in our endeavours to find Dickens in different parts of the country. And, of course, Octavio Wickenstick. There's always be a bit of part of us.
Have you worked out yet what your little hook phrase is for a dam?
Oscillation. I've got many. I mean, it's quite long, so I don't have one phrase. But I think
something to explore in the future.
Yeah, I think there's something around the fine line between holding my personality but letting go. It's that kind of in-betweenness that is where I am.
Or the balance.
Ad am, not a dam. Ad am.
Oh, I thought it was a dam.
No, it is. It is a dam of on an oscillation when I'm feeling restricted, but when I'm letting go, it's ad am.
Oh.
Like I am.
Oh. Very nice.
So it moves across, the D moves.
Wow. Exciting.
There it is, folks. Quite deep. So that's what Dickens does. Gets us to introspect, use language, think about our identity, think about the world around us, think about history, our present circumstances, and our future. And we are in a new year. We have started 2024, excuse me.
You've got a cough.
I have got a little cough. 2024. So Dickens will live on with us, but we have started a new theme.
Yes, the new theme is going to be cheese.
Cheese.
31 cheeses, 31 days. And then we'll rate them all and have lots of nice meals. I got a stocking filler, which is a cheese fondue set, which will be nice.
Yeah, we're going to obviously eat cheese. We're going to be cheesy. We're going to learn about cheeses. We've already watched a documentary about cheese, but we shall talk about that in our podcast at the end of the month.
Yeah. But thanks, everyone, for listening and enjoy your cheesy month.
Yes. We hope you have a wonderfully happy new year and we look forward to seeing you at some point in the future.
All right. All the best, everyone.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. Life is...